Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are after skipping a week and apparently poorly producing the last show. Today is February 19th.
What was with that? What happened there?
As far as I know, it was fine. I don't know. Maybe I was, I didn't.
Well, you can't, listen, you can't be perfect all the time.
We didn't get the, in other words, we just started off as, hi, I'm John, you're Andrew, and that's,
yeah.
There was no, Lisa
People
wasn't
like
wasn't
hearing
there.
Her voice.
She's got the greatest voice, and that, by the way, is 1/10 of when she wants to turn it up to sexy.
Is that the Lisa I know, photographer?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, she's good.
Yeah, she can do this ludicrous. I mean, I told her that's what I wanted for the show. This kind of playful, sexy voice, and but the one she can really put out is it's pretty bad. It could you just stop your heart. You can kill somebody with it.
You know, you should mention her. She has a lot of great apps. She's a photographer. Then she's great. She does.
Yeah, she's made I think over $1 million on that app. She's
really
got. Yeah.
What do you know?
And then she started. Now this is Lisa Bettany we're talking about. For people who want to know, you can look her up. She's very pretty. But she's got this terrific voiceover. By the way, it took me months to get her to do it. She said she'd do it, but then it took me forever to get her to finally do it. But she is also dating Pete Cashmore guy from Mashable.
Oh, really?
So you know, she's living the life.
Mm. And she does a lot of pictures of herself, by the way.
Yeah, I find a lot of these women who are attractive that they post a lot of pictures of themselves. It's like, I don't know why they do it.
Well, if you were them, you'd do the same
thing. I would. I don't like pictures. I think I look horrible personally, so I don't ever put pictures of myself up.
You know, actually, somebody is building – we're going to release this soon. Somebody's building a nice website for us. I was thinking we should have two caricatures of us on there. Won't that be great?
We have a lot of cartoonists that could do that. I agree.
If anybody wants to do a caricature of John and myself separate, like whatever it is, two heads or something, nothing big, we could put it on the website. That would be great. I think that would frame it just perfectly.
Yeah.
Two talking idiots.
Yeah, perfect. That's us.
Let me tell you what's going on. Markets keep on chugging along, keep on moving higher on low volume, which is something we've been used to for a while.
We've seen that before. It's not a good thing.
Not a good thing because when, especially the longer you go with no volume, you know, it's okay here and there. But once you start like getting pushed and there's no volume, once things don't go right, because, you know, listen, who am I to say this? I know this is ludicrous, but markets do correct every once in a while. And, you know, so we'll see what happens here. But there's a lot of headwinds happening. We have, again, the fiscal cliff part due that will end up being, you know, part three, part four,
this,
part
this
five.
This is never going to end.
Never going to end. But there is this idea that, well, if they don't pass anything, which is what they want to do now, I mean, the political
They want to kick the can down the street, as it were.
Yep. It's interesting. You know, we're starting to see more and more leaks. Did you see that there was a leak from the White House on the immigration bill?
No. What was the leak?
Well, supposedly there was a leak put out to the USA Today about the president's desired bill on immigration, which supposedly is being worked on in the Senate right now.
Yeah.
And you know, they were kind of taken aback because they're like, wait, we didn't finish this stuff. Why aren't we working together? And the White House leaked this information to the press.
Hmm.
Did this always happen? I don't know.
This administration is kind of sneaky.
Yeah, I don't
They remind me, they're kind of like the equivalent of Nixon on the other side.
Hmm. Nice. That's pretty ugly. But
yeah,
I'll
tricky Dick, tricky Barack is not as catchy.
I mean, it's all about. I guess it's all about the public persuasion, or maybe it's just. I have a theory on the whole leaks. I think it's all about let's just leak it out there and see if everybody can handle it. And if not, we'll change it and say, I don't know.
Yeah,
what that
yeah, right. Exactly. It's an old trick.
Right. So let's talk about currency wars. There's a lot of discussion about currencies. A lot.
Yeah.
Now Christine Lagarde was who is the head of the IMF. She was this weekend at the G20, and she gave this convoluted discussion about, listen, I just want everybody to know there are no currency wars. I have not heard currency wars. There's no currency wars. There are currency worries, but not wars. There's discussions. There's not debates and negativity. There's dialogues. I'm thinking, how come everything has to be – why does everything have to be so politically correct and so palatable that you have to come out with a statement like that?
I don't know, but they're scared to death that there's going to be currency wars. And there are. I mean, we're already seeing them. I mean, they're trying to back them off a little bit, but there's no doubt that there's going to be. I mean, the Japanese, look at this yen situation. We spent a year, the two of us, on this show wondering what was going on with the yen. It was ridiculously priced. And right. Now it's going, it just almost overnight, it's skyrocketed. It's at 93 now or whatever.
Yep. Yep.
And
about 15% off of its high. So that means that when the yen was up against the dollar, the way this is structured, it means it's getting weaker.
Right. Yeah. Right. The yen's getting, it's going up, which means it's getting weaker. So it's, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. It just doesn't make a lot of sense. But it's getting to the point where it's normalizing as far as I'm concerned, because I've always felt it should be 100, you know, pretty much on par with the dollar. And it was down to 72 cents. So it cost, you know, it was worth a 72 cents, 72 yen was worth a dollar. It should be 100 yen worth a dollar.
And, we did some work today on what's called a trade weighted calculation of a currency. Because currencies are one thing, and how a currency trades against another currency, of course, is the valuation. But how is the currency really looking compared to the trade-weighted figures of a country? Because you want to look at the valuation. The weaker the country, of course, the weaker, in theory, the currency should be, right?
Right.
And vice versa. So we did some work on that, and we saw that right about here, the yen is at its 10-year average price. Right about here.
Sounds right.
And it was about 20% overvalued. Well, it kind of did its thing and came slamming down here. But yeah, they're saying there's no currency wars, but now this is starting to affect a lot of countries. Already Japan tonight put out their numbers on import exports, their largest trade deficit in history.
Because you can see this coming down. I did a column on PC Magazine today actually about collecting old cameras. Old digital cameras, and I pulled out a couple of my old junkers to take some pictures with them. I still have the old cards and kinds of some of the stuff you can't even get anymore, but I've kept it. And the pictures are actually still credible. But I noticed on all these old cameras, especially the Japanese ones, it all says "Made in Japan," and I thought, oh, that's interesting because none of these cameras are made. No Japanese camera that I know of is made in Japan anymore. And it was always a symbol, you know, some sort of a representative of quality, because Japanese quality was considered the, and I think it still is to a large degree, some of the best manufacturing quality comes out of Japan. But now these cameras, they're not. None of them are made in Japan anymore. They're all made in China.
Right.
And you wonder why they're, you know, these are expensive items always, and China's making all of them. That's gonna tilt your trade balance. That's for sure.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'm wondering if
Wait a minute.
Yeah, I'm wondering if they're gonna eventually make the Lexus in China.
They started making cars here. Japanese cars are being made here for import back to Japan. Seriously.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, that's not gonna happen now because the yen has, you know, come down so much, about 17-16%, which obviously does a lot for their potential for their exports. But here's what's interesting. First of all, their imports are going to be a problem. That hurts the rest of the world. It's like a suction, you know, when you start moving a currency like that. But the other thing is that when you look at the the overall comparatives of okay, well, whose currency is worth what? Who's really doing things to manipulate it? Where is the benefit? Where's the negative? The G20 was meeting about that this weekend, or last weekend. And one of the things was, you know, we don't want to have protectionism. We don't want to have this currency problem. We don't want to have countries targeting their currency. Well, Japan says, hey, we're not targeting our currency. We're just doing all sorts of fiscal and monetary types of actions, at least discussion of them, and the markets are taking care of the rest. Wink, wink. And even though a major country like Japan, trading country around the world, has seen an incredible devaluation of their currency, they did not name Japan in any of the communiques. They just said, we don't, you know, this very open, very kind of vague language about what's going on because they don't want to say. So now the traders in Japan and around the world said, hey, wait a minute, they're not saying anything negative. So what did they do? They tried to go after the yen again and start, you know, continue to sell it off. But, you know, now what's happening is Europe is saying, wait a minute, we're going to have a problem here because the euro is so highly, you know, affected by this. And U.S. is going to be concerned about this. And at the end of the day, you're going to see countries like Venezuela just did a 32% devaluation of the currency last week.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
And that's good for them because they get an unbelievable amount of benefit from the excess oil. We already saw Saudi Arabia cut down on their oil exports because it's being shifted to Venezuela.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, the big problem is that when you see the you know this kind of currency, like in Venezuela, they can't buy products from anywhere, so they have all these problems with their consumer goods that nobody can get their hands on. Very bad, very, very bad. So there are currency wars going on. I agree with you.
Yeah, but it's going to be it hasn't hit a. It's going to hit a real bad spot in the road, and it's going to dislocate a bunch of industries, I think, at some point.
I would agree.
Currency wars are not good, especially for these multinationals, apparently.
Oh, definitely not. Already, some of them, they're okay. You know, for example, I think it was it Louis Vuitton tonight, or maybe it was PVH? There was an announcement that they're raising prices so they can be competitive in Japan. I'm thinking, what? Okay, that doesn't make a lot of sense, but okay.
It does make sense, actually, because apparently the Japanese consumer, when it comes to luxury products, does not like to buy them cheap.
I guess not.
And I've never seen any Japanese tourists down on Canal Street in New York.
They're at the Sawgrass Mall here, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's why, probably.
Yeah, but they're still brand names. At least it's, yeah, okay. Yeah, Sawgrass, yeah, that's one of the big ones.
So last week we didn't have a tete-a-tete. We didn't have our discussion because, once again, and we have to really put a letter in about this, this Tuesday presidential discussions and debates and things are just really throwing us all off.
Yeah, no, they should move it to Wednesday.
Yeah. What did you take away from the State of the Union address? Anything that caught your fancy or something that was of interest, different, not, I don't know.
I think he was a little bit... Well, the thing is generally boring. They shouldn't even put it on television. But I thought he was, kind of flexing his muscles a little bit more like a dictator, saying, if the Congress doesn't do something about it, I will. You know, mm-hmm. regarding immigration recently, and also about global warming. You know, and a couple other things. Apparently, he really likes that executive order, and nobody's really put their foot down about it. Even though he was sued recently in court and lost. When he put in the Labor Relations Board representatives by declaring Congress or the Senate out of session.
Mm, well, that's a sneaky thing.
On his own. He said, they're out of session. The guys would say, no, we're just taking a crap. What are you talking about? It's a five-minute break.
Yeah, no breaks. No breaks. Well, I was watching it, and I thought – my recollection is that over many, many, many years, a lot of times the State of the Union came from – from the Oval Office, wasn't it? You know, they would sit behind the desk and give a State of the Union one-on-one with, looking into the camera.
No, you're
thing.
Mixing that with a different speech.
What speech is that?
The State of the Union is always given before the two houses combined of Congress.
Well, what am I thinking of?
I don't know. Some other. He gives a lot of speeches. But State of the Union is specifically mentioned. It's in the Constitution, and it has to be right. given before the Congress. So it's no, he's never done that from his Oval Office.
But what I found interesting, and I'm not trying to bring up politics here per se. I just want a conversation about what's going on politically, is that it was a repeat of almost campaign speeches and a repeat of the same thing over and over, which – you got to give him credit. He doesn't deviate from his core message, but it doesn't seem like we're moving any further to get any kind of bipartisan.
No. It's just
anything.
It's the same old campaign speech rewritten by different people. Ever since that kid who did, I guess, some of his early speeches and went to college, and that was the end of him. I guess he doesn't want to do speeches anymore. Left. He hasn't given a good speech. They're all the same speech. It's boring.
Yep. Okay. Let's see. A couple other things that are very interesting. So – late payments on mortgages hit a four-year low.
Hmm.
you know, delinquencies, which were interesting. And the builder stocks have been doing pretty well. Although builder confidence today actually came a little bit light. It was about 2 points lower than expectations. And a lot of what's been going on in the building space has been, you know, a lot of confidence and people are buying. And it's really an interesting thing because maybe we're seeing a little bit of a slowdown, maybe, you know, kind of a pause, if you will, you know, with the people that were rushing out to get houses because the mortgages were so cheap and there was a lot of deals out there. And maybe they're at a little bit of a high level right now in terms of, you know, the new houses are going to be built. We'll see what happens with that. But, you know, I'm seeing, well, we're seeing in Florida at least that, you know, some of the, maybe not the valuations came, you know, all the way back, but there's definitely more activity here.
Hmm.
And we talked about, you and I, we talked about renting, didn't we? Rentals?
Yeah, rentals. This Buffett's group. A big rental nut, and I can see where that's going. It's a positive thing. But, you know, I'm seeing a lot of economic activity around here, too, to the point where it's where the traffic is almost like it is in Los Angeles. It's terrible.
Really?
Yeah, I mean really bad.
And what was it ever like that before? I mean, did you have –
at the top of the dot-com boom time, it was pretty bad. I mean, it was really bad. But I think this is worse.
Huh. Well, more people came out there.
Well, maybe. I don't know.
So in terms of things that are going on, we saw a variety of different, we'll call them mergers and buyouts. Today, we saw actually the discussion about Office Depot and Office Max coming together to go against Staples because Staples is so much bigger. And that's kind of an interesting concept, although...
What's funny to me is I think Staples is the worst of the three.
I don't get why. They're much bigger, though. They're far more... Far
you ever been to one?
Sales. Yeah, I go to every once in a while, but you could blow a cannon through there and you wouldn't touch anybody.
No, I mean, it's almost like a money laundering operation. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Well, any of them, have you been to an Office Depot lately? There's more people that work there than there are customers at any given time.
Yeah, it seems as though, yeah, I have to say that I have one down the street that I use to pick up some emergency paper or whatever. What I can't get, you know, by thinking ahead and ordering it from Amazon.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, it's pretty. There's people in there, but it's not like where you like Target, where there's a lot of people all the time. Or I was in some place that was like, man, this place is packed.
Right, exactly. And we have Comcast is buying the remaining portion that they don't own of NBC Universal, which everybody was kind of all excited about.
Why do you think they were excited?
I'm not sure exactly. They thought it was going to be great for Comcast, but I didn't. Maybe you know, you kind of bring it together under one roof. You kind of get rid of some of the excess, you know, things that are kind of working. You know, the expenses that are doubled, and you know. But there was
maybe it's because they think that General Electric was a bunch of boneheads that damn near ruined, especially NBC.
Maybe. Right after that, though, GE announced a $10 billion buyback, which was
your pet peeve.
Yeah. Well, you see it all the time. I mean, it's. I don't mind the buybacks, but it's, and I don't mind that they're trying to protect their stock. It's only when you get a little bit absurd about it, where you're issuing the dividend, trying to make that look great, and then doing the buyback, and then what you essentially is doing is you know, pumping up your earnings. So we're seeing better earnings over time, but it's a big financial kind of a ruse. Just because they bought back shares, if everything stays equal, they buy back shares, they have more income.
Yeah, no, it's a scam.
It's crazy. I mean, I get it. Don't get me wrong. I get it. I understand why that is. But like I said, I think they should come up with a share valuation and earnings valuation based on buyback adjusted.
I agree. They do it with splits.
Right. I mean, if you didn't do it with splits, you'd say, or if you've got a reverse split, you'd get all excited about what the value is.
Right.
But so stupid. But right now they won't do it. I've asked actually S&P about this. I've called the people at S&P that do some of the tracking of earnings. And I said, has anybody ever thought about doing an adjustment due to buybacks? Well, not really, because this and that, and it doesn't matter. Okay. It would just be nice so you could track the comparative value over time.
Right, like with splits.
Right, I hear you. I'm with you. I'm there. And then also we saw Dell. There's kind of a lot of interesting moving parts. You know that somebody, private equity, is coming in and buying Dell, $13.80 a share. Then all of a sudden, Michael Dell did something to devalue, and he's going to leverage up and buy his shares back, and then maybe it's not going to happen. Who knows? And why would anybody want to really buy that company if it isn't just getting it off the block so they don't have to be under the public scrutiny? It seems like a dinosaur.
Maybe they're sitting on some huge invention that they're ready to roll out once they get private.
Doubt it.
I doubt it. I doubt it too, but it's always a possibility.
Yeah, well, I mean, speaking about, you know, continuing on this whole idea of, you know, this technology, where technology shares, a couple of them doing very well. Google hit an all-time high. Apple's just languishing. BlackBerry came out with their new OS to a major dud. They're being dropped by Home Depot. They stopped selling smartphones in Japan, BlackBerry. And the biggest thing that they've done in a decade is changing the name of the company from Research in Motion to BlackBerry.
Yeah, probably a curse. Probably a bad idea.
Bad idea. It's the worst. Everybody knows the problems of BlackBerry. With Research in Motion, at least it's hidden. You wasn't sure what the company did.
I mean, it's the worst. You're right.
That's crazy. Just absolutely crazy.
Why did you change the name of the company to We Suck?
You know, I mean, after, you know, we don't know the name of the company. Oh, maybe we do. Who owned the Titanic?
Cunard, I think.
Was it Cunard? Well, Cunard didn't change their name to Titanic afterwards. It would be the equivalent, right?
Yeah, exactly. It would be.
You know, stupid. Oh, okay. I want to talk about corn and soybeans and all that, but I also want to mention that this is fascinating. The U.S. is suing S&P. We know that, right? Standard & Poor's, McGraw-Hill?
Yeah, ludicrous.
Okay. What's really interesting is that I kind of looked at something the other day, and I caught my eye that out of all the major rating agencies, Fitch, Moody's, S&P, I feel like there's one more that I'm missing. But anyway, the only ratings agency that downgraded the U.S. debt was guess who?
Standard & Poor's.
Yes, you're right.
Yes, that's the deal.
The only company that's being sued.
Oh, that's funny. You know, I didn't pick up on that. That's very good.
Right?
Yeah.
I like that. And how about the timing on that? Here's the timing. The timing is the end of this month, there's already been discussion about if they continue to kick the can down the road and increase the debt and blah, 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 that the U.S. could be on ratings watch and possibly get downgraded. Well, all of a sudden, right in the heart of the discussion, before this goes to the end, it seems to me the U.S. puts up a little bit of a warning flag to the other agencies.
Hmm.
You know, you want to – here's what we can do. Make your life very, very miserable.
That's good. So, yeah. Funny.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, let's see how much they want to get pushed around. I mean, they should give an honest rating to – you know, it should be lowered.
Well, and that's the reason why S&P is being sued, because they didn't give it an honest rating.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
You know, it's okay. It's like anything else. You know, do it to them, not to us. You know, you could downgrade anybody else, of course, and tell the facts. When it comes to us, no, we're not going to be doing that. That's not a good idea. So, let's talk about corn, wheat, soybeans. There's over the last couple of weeks, actually, they've been plunging. Remember when corn was just driving up higher and higher?
Oh, yeah, it was going crazy.
It just fell off the cart there. It's corn and wheat are really near support right now. We saw that corn was bouncing off of it hasn't gone down as fast as it went up, but it's taken out a lot of the extreme, a lot of the froth. And I know people that were just saying, hey, you know, corn's never going down again. I'm like, yeah. Well, how's that? What if there's a good harvest? What if there's extra rain? What if, I don't know, you know, the ethanol situation goes away? But, you know, it seems that the commodities, the soft space is getting really killed. While at the same time, oil, which does not have the fundamentals to be there, is like levitating.
Yeah, no, it's way overpriced.
$97.
It should be down to like, in my opinion, 40, but it's floating up there. 96.70
was
last time I looked.
It keeps on ticking higher, and even today it was down about 0.5% most of the day. I mean, if you honestly went to lunch and came back, you'd be like, "What happened? What is this a different day? What's going on?" Just shot right up. And this is the problem with low volumes and without any kind of commitment to one side, you get these really big moves, and particularly in the pits. You know, about an hour and a half before the pit closed, just shot right up, and it finished up you know, pretty much flat for the day, but it did kind of move higher. This is after the recognition that, you know, the world is having a little bit of a slowdown, and, you know, we're seeing that even though numbers are better, they're still slower. China's numbers over the lunar holiday weren't so good. They were good in raw numbers, but comparatively and what people expected, it wasn't as good as a retail.
Right, and they still may be exaggerated.
Right, right. So, and on top of that, they're trying to do everything they can, because they're basically choking themselves out of an atmosphere in China, to stop carbon emissions, which they have to. This is kind of a requirement there, you know? It's not like a want to, it's a have to.
Yeah, they're going to be dying in the streets.
Right. And so you add that all together, and you still got to wonder why oil prices are going on. And finally, with that, gasoline prices, I think, are up, 17% in the last couple of months or something.
Yeah, it's way up. It's like I went to get gas the other day. It cost me $70 to fill my tank. Drive a lot.
I spent $100 in my car. Hmm. And that's not with premium. That's with regular unleaded. It was pretty empty. But what's also interesting, do you remember a few years ago you and I were ranting and freaking out and kind of trying to shake the computer as we were talking about this, that what is the story here? How come every economist doesn't pick up on the fact that high gasoline prices are going to hurt consumers? And it's basically a gasoline tax that we're putting on consumers, and that's going to be sucked out of the economy. Remember that discussion?
Yeah.
And everything was just hunky-dory. The consumer was great and all that. Well, here's the funny thing. Gasoline prices now, on average, are higher, on average, than they were then, even with oil higher in price. Gasoline price is higher seasonally right now than it's ever been in history.
I didn't know that.
You look at the season, you know, this kind of
right,
time
seasonal,
of year.
Yeah.
And it's usually summertime is when it really spikes, right? You know, you got everybody traveling more, you have people vacationing more, you have people using various recreational vehicles, boats, or you know, whatever it may be. And so hang on.
You got it going on. You sound like an advertisement.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, the bottom line is that I think that between that and the fact that people are taking home less money in their paycheck, it's kind of going to start adding up. And I think there's a lot of people ignoring the basic math of how much money can be spent considering these things. I mean, there's a lot more money you're paying for gas and a lot less money, or some less money, getting in your paycheck. Am I wrong about this?
Logically, that's exactly what should be happening.
Right, and it may not happen overnight, but already we saw it. Do you see what happened with Walmart yesterday?
No.
On Friday? So there was an email that was, I don't think it was leaked, but it was somehow it got to the press. And the email was from one management to somebody to another, saying how, hey, have you seen, oh my, that this is the worst sales that we've seen for the beginning of a year in like 7 or 8 years. Or since 2007. It was some ridiculous amount. And they're blaming it. They're saying Walmart is directly either benefited or they are hurt by obviously the consumer who has, you know, the money to buy staples, necessities, etc. And they're really seeing a lot of pain right now because of what's going on with gas prices and lower paychecks. And that hit the stock for you know, an hour. It was actually down 2% on that news, and then
that's,
I think, earnings are.
Let's look at the chart for Walmart. Let's bring a chart up.
Yeah,
I think maybe I should be shorting it in the next for today's show.
You have earnings in a couple of days.
You want to do it in advance, I think, if you're going to take a chance.
Yeah, especially because it's a freebie. It goes down almost.
That helps.
Yeah, health. No risk.
There's no risk.
We have no risk investing here.
All right,
let's look at a one-year chart. Actually, Walmart's not looking so good here if you look at it. On a one-year chart, let's go 5 years. 5 years will look good. So Walmart forever was sticking around the 50 to $55 range. Going back to 2008, 2009, 2010, they've increased their dividend on a regular basis from about 24 cents a quarter back in 2008. And let's kind of go back a little further here. They're 22 cents, 15 cents. Yeah, they've been around 55 forever. really. I'm going back 2001. They were up to 60. They were up to 60 again at the peak in 2008. And they hit 70 recently. And they're starting to roll down here. Actually, they hit about 74. And they're starting to roll down at about $68 right now. The biggest move they've had was recently the 2011 push from about $50 to about 70. So I think, again, it's the 21st. When is that? That's a couple days from now. So the 21st is when the earnings will come out before the market at about 8:10 a.m. So you're going to short these guys.
Yeah, I the MACD looks like it's heading south. That's pretty, which is who knows who uses that anymore. But
yeah, I don't know if you can you see the volume chart? Are you at all looking at volume over time?
Let me see if I can find it. There it is.
I'm looking at volume from 2000.
Well, they have a big volume the other day, apparently, during that announcement.
Of course, yeah.
And the rest of the time, it's just kind of like... Bleh.
I'm looking at from 2008 till now. And what I find really fascinating is the slow movement of volume lower and lower.
Yeah, but yeah, it's erosion.
What's also really interesting is that pop that you see in the market in... when was it? Let's call it March of 2012, when it really started rising higher. Look at where it kind of picked up the volume, and then just like it has like a cup look to it. You know, it's just rounded bottom. The volume's nowhere.
Yeah,
I found that interesting, especially for Walmart, such a well followed.
I'm thinking the stock should be that there's a support line around. Looks like 58 maybe, and then below that it could drop. Could be good. I'm shorting.
I think that 58, 59, 60, right around there. I mean, you definitely, if you look at the chart, the kind of, I don't know if you can see this, but if you were looking at the chart straight on the last part of it, you see that, how it looks like it's leaning right to down? You see that whole thing? It looks like it's kind of leaning?
Yeah, leaning.
To the downside? And it would be kind of a potential head and shoulders, which would come right back down to 60 if there was that pattern that would be going on, which I'm not a real big fan of those, but a lot of people are. But if you did come down right now down to about 60, you would have that head and shoulders pattern, which would then, you know, decide where the next leg is going to go from there. So I am with you. We'll put that on the list when we get there. Let's see what else we have here. Higher prices of gas. We talked about that. A couple of weeks, Congress is going to kick cans down the road. Oh, Herbalife. You want to talk about Herbalife?
Your favorite. This is really fast. Green Mountain. You and Herbalife and Green Mountain.
Yeah. But Herbalife is even more exciting, I think, because you have on one side, you have Icon, and you have on the other side, Ackman. That's what it's boiling down to.
Interesting.
It's fascinating. They were on TV just beating the crap out of each other. You got to watch the clip on that if you haven't seen it. So Ackman comes out a number of months ago. We know he was short with this 300-slide presentation. Imagine sitting through a presentation with 300 slides.
You're supposed to keep it down to 8.
This is 300.
Oh, my God.
300 slides. And I don't think they just zip through them. And he did this through the Irisone conference. This is a bit of overkill. But, okay. So he comes up with this whole thesis on it's a pyramid scheme, and here's all the reasons why. And one of the, you know, he said some silly things like, hey, in my town, I never see anybody that has with Herbalife. Well, okay. So what does that mean? Right, you know what I'm saying? That's ridiculous. But he did come up with a lot of different theories about how they operate, basically, which is, you know, they bring in people, you pay a bunch of money, and then your job is to bring in more people rather than sell product. You know this. We talked about this.
Yep.
So the whole pyramid scheme comes up. Stock continues down and all that. Then all of a sudden, it starts rising, okay?
You know, I should mention something.
Yeah.
Pyramid schemes technically are illegal, so it can't be a pyramid scheme or they'd be busted.
No, that's the point. That's what Ackman is proposing. He says somebody needs to look into this. FTC or the SEC, somebody has to look into it.
Well, then they're going to have to go after Amway and Nu Skin and all these other guys.
Possibly. And that's the big issue right now. That's why they're all trading together. Well, not Amway because I don't think it trades, but Nu Skin trades. And that's moving up and down. They actually did shut down a company a month ago, and there was speculation about this that there would be, you know, when the FTC came out with that, hey, we're going to talk about a pyramid scheme. Everybody's like, uh-oh, is it Herbalife? Now, if you go to the complaint area of the, I believe it's the FTC, if you go there, they have the top, I think, 10 listed companies that they've requested information on various complaints.
Huh.
And Herbalife is smack in the middle. There's only actually maybe six or seven companies. One is Countrywide Mortgage, which we know their story, right?
Yeah.
There's Herbalife and like a couple more. That's it. And there's a lot of, you know, complaints that they've had to deal with from consumers on the Herbalife situation. So now, on one hand, you have this Ackman who's coming out and, you know, he's short 20 million shares. We're not talking about, hey, I'll, you know, maybe put my toe in the water.
They're not talking about our game.
Yeah, exactly. This is real money. And so what's happening is that one day Dan Lieb from I believe Third Point Value comes up and he's, you know, the stock has run down pretty hard. And he says, you know what, I'm buying into this deal. Well, you know, when you see a big fund manager buy in like that, what happens is a lot of people follow. Okay, so the stock starts moving up a bit, starts kind of creeping higher. Obviously, traders are playing this big drop and trying to raise it up a bit. Icon comes out on Wednesday or Thursday of last week, or the end of the week, and it says, this announcement, after the market closes, that Icon has taken a 12.5% position in the company. So he owns 12.5% of Herbalife.
Hmm.
Now, you have to remember, or at least you have to understand, that there's been an ongoing bitter feud between Ackman and Icon for some time. There was some kind of deal where there was an argument over $4.5 million or something, and Icon can't stand Ackman. So I think he looked at this as a great opportunity to try to squeeze the shorts and push the stock up. So he goes.
The timing would be good.
Very good. So comes out with this announcement. Stock is up 28% on the announcement after hours.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Friday morning, come in. It's up 17. All right. Day progresses. Nothing new. People find out that there's some options that he's using to do this that, you know, this doesn't cost him as much. So it's a temporary situation that maybe he's just not really buying into the company, but he's really just trying to push the position and make a couple bucks, then run away from it. He uses the words that you want to hear, like, you know, I'm going to talk to the management about strategic alternatives to going private, and, you know, all these kind of things that are the catchphrases to move a stock, right? So the stock is moving. By the end of the day, the stock is up like 1%, 1.5%. So it closed on Friday after being up 28%, just up 1%. Well, here we go, and the weekend goes on, and there's this big battle still going on. Here we are. We get earnings tonight. Earnings come out, and they not only beat estimates, but they are boosting their forecast and a 30-cent dividend. Now, that should have been pretty good, right? You know, you should have. I mean, if there's all this negativity about the potential stock, but you see, wait a minute, the stock is doing okay. They actually beat, and they're raising their guidance. Hey, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Now, right before this happened, I was talking to somebody about the earnings because they were coming out at 4:15 today. And I said, you know, let's think about this for a second. If this is a pyramid scheme, and if the management are kind of questionable and they have questionable morals and ethics and why don't they just lie about the earnings? How much more can they get into? This way, at least they can kind of try to bag some money on the deal on the way out, right?
Well, that's a pretty sinister thought.
Well, I'm just saying, if it is, it is, right? If it's an illegal pyramid deal and they're doing all these things to try to you know, make it look one way but really not, and cover-ups or at least hiding the truth about what it is, I'm saying if the potential is they're going to get shut down one day anyway, why not just go for the gusto? Beat earnings, raise your guidance, and maybe even do a share buyback. Who knows? So they come out. The stock is up about 4%, and then we see that there's some headlines. The SEC is asking for some financial records from the company now. Or they're looking into some financial transactions. Stock is – I think it finished flat at the end of the – evening trading session. But I don't know. I mean, it would be kind of smart for them to, if it was an illegal deal to begin with, just kind of, why not just throw some more things in? You can't get hurt any worse and make some money on some stock.
Yeah. That's kind of a Floridian way to see it.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. But we'll see. Tomorrow's going to be an interesting day. The conference call's in the morning. And I would have thought that all of this, well, I guess it can go either way, right? All this publicity would have been negative, but maybe not.
Yeah, maybe not.
Things he makes. So I guess I got to ask this. you know, the old question that we ponder quite often: how stupid are people? You ponder that, right?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah. So just the day before the big announcement of Heinz being bought by Berkshire Hathaway, somebody piles into a buttload of options, call options. I guess thinking that, who would know? Just the day before, this is a big announcement of a buyout that nobody even thought about. I'm going to spend a ton of money on options. So the options are bought, and I think the guy pocketed upwards of $2 million of profits in a day.
That's good work. It's good work if you can get it.
Yeah. Now, you always got to scratch your head and look for these things. These aren't transparent, or these aren't invisible, I should say. These, you know, there's trails of where this happens, right? And when you see this gigantic pop of options.
Yeah, out of the blue.
Right.
If it was a month ago, it'd be okay.
Right. The SEC is looking into it. It turns out that they're freezing all the accounts of the parties involved. They're looking into this whole thing as suspicious. And then, lo and behold, it's an account at Goldman Sachs.
Yeah,
Goldman Sachs Bank in Zurich. I love these guys.
What nerve!
I'm not saying it was Goldman Sachs, but it was in one of their accounts, and you got to wonder about the oversight with that whole situation and what they're doing. Got to love those guys.
Yeah, those guys are amazing. The best. They're the best.
Well, they figure. Listen, they figure there must be a deal pending somehow.
Yeah, out of the blue, they felt this way.
Okay, let's see. Apple's been hacked. Seems Facebook's been hacked. Google's been hacked. What's the deal? What's going on? This is just sport again now?
I don't know.
Okay.
I have no idea. Do you want to blame China? I think it's probably our own government, so they blame China. I have no idea. I think the whole thing is something weird about it. But I have no clue.
Yeah, China is actually seemingly getting pissed off about all these negative things we're saying about the hackers and stuff. So maybe they're – I don't know. I mean, some people say that the government of China is – you know, that's kind of their little warfare. They're doing some hacking.
Doesn't make any sense. I'm not buying into any of it. Well, what's the point? What are they doing? If they were doing just testing to see if they can penetrate, you know, they can do it other ways. I mean, it just seems to me that
Well, I think the Chinese government is very interested in changing around your Facebook page.
Yeah, that's what it is.
They're sitting around going, ha ha, look, I changed his name. Nobody's going to know him now. I mean, my picture's on there instead of his. I mean, what's the, you know, who cares?
No, it's the point. That's the point. It just doesn't make any sense. I mean, they may be practicing something. I mean, it's even if they were, it's still pointless. So if they brought Facebook to a dead standstill, so what?
You know, a lot of the kids are off of Facebook. You know, the big Facebook craze on the young kids. You know, you could talk to them and ask kids. They don't do that as much anymore. They use Instagram. They're big into Twitter. And this other one called this is interesting. This app, it's called I don't remember the name. Something Snap. Whereas
Snap.
Like something Snap.
Now you have to get it. We can't continue the show.
Okay, it's very popular. Hold on a second. I'll find it. Let's see. Maybe it's Photo Snap. Photo Snap. Maybe that's what it's called. Let's see. Snapseed. Photo Snap. Snapchat. Oh, I think it's Snapchat. That's what it is.
Snapchat. Snapchat?
Yeah, check out what this is.
It's I've never heard of Snapchat.
Oh, this is big. It's vanishing photos. The photo comes on your screen, and then you look at it, it disappears.
Oh, that's so they can sexting, so they can send a little – yeah, a sexting tool for or the next Instagram. Yeah, that's for sexting, so people can – because they, you know, all these kids are a bunch of exhibitionists, it seems to me, a lot of them. And so they like to, you know, flash their breasts, these girls. And they keep getting busted for it. I mean, some are being brought in and questioned about kiddie porn because they're underage, and other ones are, you know, grounded by their parents, and there's all this other stuff. So this would make nothing but sense because it's this thing that you can't capture, although you can. If it shows up on your screen, you can capture it. You might not be able to capture it right away, but you can capture it. Use a screen capture system.
How upset are you?
Or fan view. Anyway, go on.
How upset are you about not being young now? I mean,
it's just a bunch of teasing. No, he didn't. It's just a bunch of teasing.
Yeah, whatever. But it's, you know, we didn't have any of this stuff. I mean,
no, I'm not so sure. I mean, maybe you didn't, but I'm a little older, and I got the last end of the you know, the summer of love thing, where these women are just wandering around spinning naked. You know, it's pretty. It's better than Snapchat.
I think we got caught in a really bad generation my age. We're kind of, you know, the tail end of all that, but didn't get any of that. And then in this next generation, they're just crazy.
Oh, yeah. No, they're out of control. I agree. You know,
with their Gettys, they get together. I mean, it's like a roving party. It's like a pack of parties everywhere. Police shut them down over here. They go over here. They go over there. It's unbelievable.
They got nothing else to do. There's no work for them. I feel sorry for these kids.
Mm. So they should party, you're saying?
Yeah, they might as well live it up.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, when the, you know, super gonorrhea sweeps through the whole generation, it's going to be not good.
And they are. I got to tell you something. You know, you hear about the 60s and the kind of, you know, free sex, you know, not free, but, you know, free sexual nature of things.
Sexual revolution.
Yeah, it's here again. I'm telling you, I'm yeah, a couple years too old, too young. I don't know.
Yeah, missed out. Yeah, you probably didn't miss that on much.
You want to look at some of the stocks that we have?
Yeah, let's,
or,
see what we got. Let's do that.
Yeah,
well,
is
there anything else? Wait, let me look on the rundown, see if there's anything else we want to talk about.
Brian Moynihan from Bank of America got $12 million last year.
Life's tough for that guy.
Yeah.
Guys, and he's a front man for something. I don't trust that guy. Mm. Anyway, let's take a look at okay. Well, I got one winner on here.
Let's see what you got here. You got Radio Shack coming out with earnings, by the way, I think in a couple of days.
Yeah, well, it's up to
us. So Radio Shack shows you like them. You said this is, I think your comment was something like, there's one in every neighborhood and everyone eventually needs a Radio Shack.
It needs to go there once in a while.
Yeah.
Now, I bombed on Yahoo, but I'm still kind of in there. I shorted it because I don't think much of Melissa or whatever.
I have a question. Were you going short or long on Lennar? Do you remember?
I was going I think I was going long.
Yeah, that's what I thought so too. I just want to make sure I wasn't sure. You're doing well in Live Nation. Live Nation is obviously there was a lot of insider buying, but the other thing that is obviously the ticket company, Corning, doing very well.
Finally came around.
Yep. Amazon short was actually up about 7% a couple days ago, which is working out right. I'd love to close my corn fund. It's up 6%, which is a lot for corn if you think about it.
Yeah, you can't, though. The rules are you have to stay in it until it closes itself.
Yep, I know.
So you're probably going to lose.
Well, I could still, the most I could lose is what, 4% now, right?
Yeah, because it resets, right. Okay, that's the way it works, yeah.
McGraw-Hill, interestingly enough, it was up 2% today, but we're kind of flat on that, which is kind of interesting, I think, with all the
crapola
going on. You had earnings come out on them, you had...
I think it should, we're long, and yeah, I think it's fine. It's just coasting, mm-hmm. It's waiting.
Now, you wanted to short Walmart.
Yeah.
WMT. Let me just put this in short for you. And you're going to – the earnings and all that. Earnings. Okay. I don't really – I mean, there's a few things. I mean, some of the housing stocks, I think, are kind of ripe to have some kind of rotation out of them right now. But you know, I don't really – See, I mean, the only thing possibly that we could look at is Hewlett Packard. Their earnings are coming out this week as well.
Yeah.
I'm not expecting
kind
anything
of staying
good
away from those companies.
Yeah, I'm not expecting anything good for them. And then other than that, I mean, you
well,
know.
Well, I got one. I'll put another one up since you seem to be not interested.
It's not that I'm not interested. It's just, I think right now I'm very much on the side of, hey, the markets are.
I'm going to go back to my old theory, which has really not paid off the way it should have. But it's, you know, it's, I think I'm still a little bit ahead on this idea, mm-hmm. which is to take some insider who's buying something for some unknown reason. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to go long on Murphy Oil.
Hmm. What's that? Not a well-known symbol. What's the symbol?
M-U-R.
Oh, yeah. M-U-R. Now, let's see what's going on with Murphy Oil. Murphy Oil Company. Let's see here. Mm-hmm. An insider bought 80,000 shares of Murphy Oil. That's from the Insider Monkey. Have you ever been to Insider Monkey?
No.
Insider Monkey.
Insider
Hot stocks,
Monkey.
Murphy Oil. Yeah, that's what it says.
Insider Monkey.
They do oil and gas exploration and wholesale gasoline retail.
I think they're on. They're onto something. I think there's something up. Something's up. They've hit something and they're not talking yet.
Exploration, production, refining.
Look at that spike in the October November time frame of last year. When I think they came up with whatever it was. There's an upward, just a jump up.
Well, here's where this is interesting. They're in, they refine and they do market activities into segments of the United States and United Kingdom. They also work in the U.S., Canada, Malaysia, United Kingdom, Republic of Congo.
Yeah, could be there.
And, let's see. On September 30th, 2011, Camelot Supplies acquired Superior, Wisconsin. They acquired them. Part of their stuff. They also do natural gas liquids. So yeah, they're right in the right place here. They're located in Arkansas? Yep. Mm-hmm. Interesting. So I'm trying to see if they have earnings coming out here. Events January 31st. So they just came out with earnings, right? Yeah, they just came out with earnings on January 31st, which
right.
looks pretty good in terms of what they did here. Let's look at the 1 month chart here. January 31st. Yeah, right here. Yep, they did very nicely that day. So, interesting. 80,000 shares. That's no... And according to Insider Monkey, how do we go against that, you know? Oh, crazy, crazy. All right, so I'll put that down because of the insider buying. We could go back to our MedBox. Remember that stock? We should probably just buy that stock. That stock that was $2 and went to $200. And it now down to 47. It was at 70 recently. MDBX or medical marijuana we could buy. That's
I think that's the one that still hasn't made the big move.
Let's see. That's at 32 cents. Let's see if I can bring this up here. 32 cents. It was 45 cents on February 15th. I wonder what they did wrong.
I don't know.
Oh, they probably came out with. Oh, they came out with. They don't have any earnings. They have something called Dixie Elixirs and Edible Brands featured on Fast Money.
Oh, nice.
So that's kind of interesting. So they have an edible form of this.
Yeah, well, when you're in Holland, they have a marijuana sucker that you can buy.
Really?
Yeah, it's a green. I think they're all green. They have different colors. But it's a popsicle. Candy. You know, the suckers, you know, the hard candy. And they sell them for, I think they're a dollar or a euro for one.
No, they have that in the U.S., but I mean, on the prescription, they have fentanyl pops. You know about that?
No, it's similar, I'm sure.
Yeah, fentanyl.
So they don't sell them on the street corner?
No. But they you know, I was with somebody a long time ago, and she was eating this lollipop. I'm like, what's the deal with the lollipop? It's kind of weird looking. Oh, it's a fentanyl pop. I'm like, really? Fentanyl? Yeah. And she's just sitting there, it's almost like she's... You know, just getting totally stoned right in front of me as I'm sitting there with her. It just that stuff is pretty powerful. But anyway, so I guess they have all this going on here. And then the other one that's interesting is the 3D printers. You have a lot of controversy going on with them right now. You wrote about them not too long ago. We have Triple D coming out with a earnings again this week as well. I think Thursday. Inside of Monkey's all over this one too. Who's this Inside of Monkey guy? Do you look at the site?
No, I'm going to go there now, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, I said Insider Monkey. What's the deal on that?
InsiderMonkey.com?
So many, the MailChimp, this monkey. What's with the monkeys?
I don't know. There's some sort of a signal of the end of days.
Hey, they have caricatures on here.
Yeah, you're on the site, right? That's probably why I can't. There it is. Finally showed up.
No, wait, I'm on the site, so what?
So it's slow. It's running out of some guy's back bedroom. On a 1200 baud modem. Years and years ago, I was talking about people running websites off of modems, and some guy said, check my website. I'm running it off of 96. Just as a joke, I'm running it into the internet off a 9600 baud modem.
Oh, gosh.
And it was actually snappy.
So this site is about us. Let's see who these guys are. It's a well-known fact. 50,000 insiders. Our team. One team. Two people. Mina Krishnamasetti. She's the editor. He's the editor. Oh, she's the editor. Before that, she was the associate producer at Bloomberg. Prior to that, she was the afternoon news team at CNBC and at NPR. There you go.
She's getting worse for her.
And Ian Dogan is,
her boyfriend.
Yeah. He has a PhD in financial economics, specializes in insider trading, provided consulting service institution, investors hedge fund, and managed a $200 plus million fund using strategy, blah, blah. He recently authored the insider trading chapter of the soon-to-be-published The Handbook of Investment Anomalies by Zach. So he didn't write a book. He just wrote a chapter. I don't know. There's nothing really going on there. It's nothing exciting on Inside of Monkey, is there?
I'm not seeing anything as, you know, it's not done like a classic one of these tip sheets where there's just lots of action going on.
Lots of pictures and lots of space and lots of things flying on the screen. I don't like that.
Yeah, well, that's what gets all the money.
A lot of pictures, a lot of, this is all, what's going here? Yeah, you got ad choices that pop up all over the place. You see all that? Ugh. Okay, that's it. Visit it at your own risk, your own peril.
You know, I'm always skeptical about how to beat the market by 20 percentage points. Yeah, really? You can do that? Huh.
Man, this is another one.
I think Bernie Madoff said something similar.
Ah, yes. I wonder, they're all over this thing.
Well, this is the deal. Hedge Fund Alpha. Subscribe to our premium quarterly newsletter and get this and that. Join now, $299 a year.
Hmm.
That's what this is about. Just a front. Hmm? It's just a splash page for an expensive newsletter.
When is Sears earnings coming out? That I want to see, because this one, I can't imagine having a great earnings, but I think that may be built in a little bit. Let's see here. November earnings dates. Okay, let's look at the earnings dates for this right here. Let's see. Next earnings are going to be 223. Nope, that was 2012. So much for that. Here we go. Nope, that's not it there either.
So what are you following Sears? What do you think is going to crash and burn?
You know, you just got a lot of these.
How about JCPenney's? That's the one I'm more interested
in. That's one's coming out with earnings also. They're coming out, I think, very shortly. Right, let me see. Earnings date. All right, let's see. Earnings. Let's see. Review this year's. No.
Oh, I got another stock to put on the list. Since I'm
February 28th. It is February 28th for Sears.
Oh.
And when's JCPenney? Let's look at it while we're here. Just JCPenney earning date. February 26th.
I got another stock for the list. I got to put it on.
Okay.
I know you're going to moan because I put this on every year or so. Ready?
Yep.
AMD.
AMD actually started doing well, which is a wonder.
I think it's because they're going to be in all the new consoles. That's the rumor. Everything's going to be AMD.
Well, how's that?
That's it. I'm just telling you. It's the rumor. It's what's going on.
In every what now?
All the new consoles. All the new PlayStation, the new Xbox, everything.
They would be smart to do that because they lost the other battle. You know?
Yeah.
Also the battle of the PCs and the rest of it. But that's interesting. All right, so we got AMD, we got Walmart short, and we got Murphy Oil long. So we got AMD is in the new consoles, is our little note there. And Murphy Oil is insider monkey, insider buying. Okay. And by the way, everybody, you can check this out over at DH Unplugged. We're going to have a new site very
shortly,
soon.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah, it looks really good. And there's a little link that says, or it's a big link that says weekly stocks tracking spreadsheet or something like that. Now, this is just a game we play. Don't buy or sell anything that we talk about and use professional advice. Invest at your own risk and all that. We're not recommending anything here at all. We may own all, none, or some of the stocks, long or short, etc. Now, go over to DH Unplugged, click that, and what happens is it takes you to a spreadsheet, a Google spreadsheet, where all the things that we talk about here are listed, what the date it was, the episode number, and you can click to link to the episodes, a symbol. It's linkable to get some charts. And all this is fed by Google Finance, and we can see exactly the gain and loss. It's kind of a neat thing. Not a lot of this on the web that you could do. You could build these yourself, by the way, to track your own portfolios. Cool stuff. Plus
yep.
A chart.
It's actually quite nice. It's a very good system.
Very price is right.
And the price is right.
The price is right. All right. Well, I'll see you next week.
All right.
Unless it's a presidential discussion or something.
Let's hope not. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Right. Have a good one, buddy.
Adios.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.